Larry Razavi and his Out of Town Checks with our theme, Musicians Come and Play, wrapping up right there. Means it's time for another edition of our Musicians Come and Play program here on KASM. It is program number 568 in that continuing series. As you're listening to your dependable neighbor for all of central Minnesota, KASM Albany, 1150 AM, KDDG Albany, 105.5 HD2, 107.7 on your FM dial, streaming on the World Wide Web at mychasm.com. We're coming up on 13 minutes now before the hour of 12 noon. Temperature reading currently at 71 degrees here in central Minnesota. Picked up 0.04 of an inch of precipitation during that little brief shower we had between 9:30 and 10:30. And the sun back in and out of the clouds and breezy out there. Feels really nice, though, as you go outside. Well, we have our guest on the line. We're going to bring him in and say good morning to Mr. Dwight Stang. Good morning, Dwight. How are you doing?
Hey, good morning, Si. Happy to be with you this morning.
Wonderful. And, Dwight, where are you at? Where are we speaking to you at?
So I'm east of St. Cloud, probably about 20 minutes or so. Just live out in the country.
Okay. Out of Clear Lake, Clearwater, someplace in that area?
Kind of in that vicinity, yep.
Sure.
The address of odd, but yeah, out kind of in that neck of the woods.
Okay. Do you have some acreage out there or just a house in the country or what have you got?
It's a little bit of both. You know, kind of live on a wildlife marsh, and so it's this is a great time of year, you know, with the migration and the wildlife coming through here. So yeah, I've been out here probably, gosh, it's probably about 2,000, I think.
Okay. Good for you. Good for you. And, married and family?
I have a son, and he's married, actually, grandson, and expecting another one here shortly. So.
Well, good. Good deal. Awesome. Well, let's start at the beginning, Dwight, where you were born and raised and who Mom and Dad were.
Sure. So, you grew up central Minnesota, kind of in the South Albany area.
Okay.
The Martin Peele area,
mm-hmm.
Richard and Joanne, my folks.
Okay.
Pretty much had our hands full with dairy crop, hog operation growing up, and, you know, I kind of ventured off down a different path, you know, after graduating, got into the electric energy industry, and,
okay.
And that's been a lot of the focus here since, so.
Okay. Where did you go to school, Dwight?
Oh, went to Painesville High School.
Painesville High School, okay. Graduated there from Painesville? Okay. Did you go on to any after, you know, college or anything like that?
Yeah, I did. Actually, you know, kind of jumped into the electricity track, construction electricity, and landed a job really in the electric utility industry. You know, I could tell early on, you know, that was going to be a good opportunity over the years. And
sure.
Like I said, you know, it was tried to do a lot of things all at once, music included, but really decided to focus on the career for many years, but, you know, kind of come around the horn and getting back into the music a little bit, but, yeah.
Well, neat. So did you take music in school then too, Dwight?
You know, I did play tuba in band up until high school.
Okay.
But I will say, you know, mom and dad were very supportive for all the siblings. You know, music was an opportunity for us to, you know, really develop a hobby. And so beyond school, no, I really didn't take any lessons.
Okay.
Just kind of been through, you know, meeting people and opportunities that kind of opened up that track of life for me.
Well, your dad was a very accomplished concertina player through his years. I didn't really ever get to work with him, but I've known of him and always heard good things about him. Good concertina player, huh?
Yeah, I know. You know, he did quite a bit of work, you know, before I was even born. A lot of weddings and anniversaries and, you know, house parties. And it's interesting as years have gone by to hear stories both from him, but some of the people he played for too over the years. And so it's, you know, it's always been fun to kind of see it through other people's eyes as well.
Sure. So when you became a concertina player, was he your teacher, or did you take lessons someplace, or how'd you get into concertina playing?
Sure. So, you know, I think he probably pulled out a sheet of music or two when I was maybe 8 or 10, you know, somewhere in that range, and just showed me the basics. But at that point, you know, it was really up to me to determine if it was something I was interested in. And, you know, it really didn't probably stick the first time around. I would say in my late teens, as I started to kind of meet, you know, other musicians, I kind of came back to it and mm-hmm. started to invest time. And at that point, you know, it made more sense to me that time around, I guess, and I really enjoyed it. And so it went from there.
Okay. Now, did you buy your own concertina, or did you use your dad's, or how did you get started there?
Yeah. You know, so initially the one that, you know, he had for me was an old Pearl Queen triple, and I think he had bought it used, you know, many years earlier, and might have been one, too, that, you know, he had used. But, yeah, it was available, and, you know, as it became, you know, something I was more serious about, yeah, eventually, you know, I purchased my own, and, yeah.
Okay, and what do you own? What do you have for concertina?
I had Christy Hengel actually built a B-flat for me back in 1986.
Oh, really?
And I still have that to this day. And
has a number?
I'd have to check.
You'd have to look. Okay. Yeah. Everybody that has Hengel concertina seems to know what number they've got, because Christy built them one at a time and numbered them accordingly. And so you hear, like, Elmer Scheid had such and such a number and very early on, and Jerry Schuft had such and such a number, and so it went through the years. And of course, now that tradition has been passed on to Jerry Minar, and he had to drop the S, so he produces the Hengel concertinas. But it's kind of neat to know that they're still going.
Yeah, you know, you talk about, you know, the concertina manufacturer in the business. You know, some of the best memories I had would be going down to New Ulm with Dad to, you know, kind of make the rounds, you know.
Yeah.
Had, you know, Christy Hengel, his operation, you know, Brown Music as well in New Ulm, and it certainly was kind of a hotbed of manufacturing, at least in this part of the country.
Yeah.
You know, at the same time, a lot happening down in Chicago as well, too, and, you know, it's certainly a fascination of mine, just the history of the instrument, you know, coming to the States originally and, you know, kind of how it went from there. So
you bet. And it really hasn't let up. You know, Jerry Minar is still active in the concertina business. Fritz Lucas is out there doing some concertina work. Mr. Novak, I can't think of his first name right offhand, but he's manufacturing and got concertinas available. And there's a few others out there too as well, huh?
Yeah, I think so. You know, it's been interesting as years have gone by. I think there's a lot of people across the country, you know, kind of along the Rust Belt states that have dabbled in it. You know, another gentleman, Dan Greitsmacher.
Oh, yeah.
You're very familiar with him. You know, yep. Dan was a big promoter.
Yep.
And did a lot, you know, with instrument repair and a lot of folks like Dan, you know, that really kept them recycling, getting them into the hands of new players and helping show the ropes, you know.
Absolutely. You bet. Well, I think the first time that I ran across you or heard you play, and it was unfortunate circumstances there, Dale Damon, of course, and his son Dominic were killed, and they had a memorial service for them at the Medina Ballroom. And we, along with, thousands of people, attended that. And we didn't get there right away. I worked here first at the station, and then my wife and I left and went down there. And so I suppose we got there probably close to 2:30, 3 o'clock. And there was concertina music playing all over the building. But you were on stage as we came in. And I didn't know you at the time. And I said, who is that playing concertina? I was like, wow, that guy's really good. And somebody else said, well, that's Dwight Sting. And that was my first opportunity to hear you play. And my goodness, you play very well.
Well, I appreciate that, Cy. You know, stage performance has never really been an ambition of mine.
Okay.
You know, I think the thing that has always really intrigued me is the opportunity to sit down and share those creative moments with other musicians, learn from them. And Dale was certainly one of them. You know, Dale and I met early, you know, gosh, probably about the time I was graduating from high school. And both Dale, Mark, his bass player, Mark Houck, and, you know, Kenny Faber, and, you know, Adrian Sawada and others, you know, I think were kind of that stepping in point for me, introducing me to some of the local musicians and giving me opportunities the initial years.
You bet.
Like later on, you know, as I kind of moved into my career and stuff and had an opportunity to connect with, you know, other styles of music kind of in the Twin Cities and eastward too, you know, just kind of continued to try to absorb it all in, you know.
Well, and Dale was such a great guy to rub elbows with, I always like to say. He was so passionate about playing music, and he went through stages of life, too, where, you know, Kenny Faber was a really good friend, and I know you knew him well, too. And Kenny used to talk to me and say, God, if that Dale would just get that rock and roll out of his head, because Dale kind of played both sides of the avenue. He played the polka music, and he was so good on concertina, but he liked the rock and roll and the other style of music there. And so they went out a lot of times as the Beats as well, and would play that style of music. So they could really entertain both venues of music, no matter where they were playing. And I know Kenny was old time all the way to his heart, and he would tell me, God, if he would just get that wildness out of his system. And I think eventually Dale sort of did. He became a very, very devoted old time concertina player and band. Of course, the musicians that you mentioned, all of them either passed away or retired. And when he passed away, he had his two sons playing for him, Gary Bakenstills. I'm sure you know Gary, and I don't know who else was. Jerry Cale was sometimes filling in, but he had kind of evolved, and boy, some of those later recordings were really good by Dale. Do you agree?
Oh, I would agree, and you know, I've often kind of wondered the same thing too, Cy. You know, I think by kind of expanding that repertoire, I think it gave the boys, you know, both Samuel and Dominic, a chance, too, to really step in and decide, you know, for themselves, too. But I have a lot of respect for the time that he spent, you know, with his sons there and the opportunities that he gave them as well to really, you know, glimpse, you know, what the music was and to be a part of kind of that narrative, that story. You know, I was thinking this morning, you know, even for myself going back, you know, some of the musicians that, you know, probably, you know, helped me, not so much personally, but really piqued my interest. You know, another gentleman I know that we both know, too, is Andy Stangler. You know,
yes.
I think back to some of the earliest memories I have of Dad taking me out to hear live music, probably at George and Nellie's annual concertina party in Melrose, and, you know, know, Andy was kind of a mainstay there, and
sure.
just a nice guy.
Oh.
And you know, another individual that we lost way too soon. But you know, as years you know unfolded too, you know, I mentioned to you kind of coming onto the call this morning to Jerry Schiff. You
yeah.
know, I remember, you know, annually Earl Schmidt and Jerry Schiff playing for like the Jacobs Prairie Church Summer Festival. And,
oh, for sure.
You know, and it was really interesting because, you know, over the years as they started to spend some time down in Nebraska, and they brought back a lot of these arrangements, you know, some of the Czech tunes and stuff. And that, too, you know, it continued to whet the appetite. There's more out there. And so good memories.
Absolutely. Well, Dwight, if we can ask you to hold that thought for just a moment. We've reached 12 o'clock here in central Minnesota. Time to read the ad for our sponsor, the St. Joe Meat Market. Then we'll come back to you, if that's all right.
Sounds good, Si.
All righty. So greetings to one and all from the St. Joe Meat Market, one of the finest meat markets around. It's a great time of the year with the leaves changing color and hunting seasons kicking in the full gear. Lots of folks moving around. All of that activity usually involves food and eating. The St. Joe Meat Market always has just a wonderful selection of snacking meats and foods on hand for in your backpack to meat items to center your sit-down meal around after a hard day of hunting. Yes, you'll find many flavors of jerky, snack sticks, the little snack packs, all vacuum-packed, ready to grab and go. And there is a full meat counter of fresh and smoked meats for your full meal. Come in and see for yourself. Cooking and serving at the Broad Sale out in front of the St. Joe Meat Market on Friday and Saturday, the 10th and 11th of October, will be the St. Joe Men's Lions. Come out and support this wonderful organization with a brat and a beverage. They certainly appreciate your patronage. The brat of the week this week is our smoked funeral hot dish brat. It's another of those great flavored brats found at the St. Joe Meat Market. We use lean pork and beef for the meat block. Add a roaster full of hot dish like you would find served at a funeral dinner and smoke them in our state-of-the-art smokehouses, and boy, are they ever good. As always, come in this week, take 30 cents off each package at the checkout counter all week long in limited quantities. Many other in-store specials await you when you come to the St. Joe Meat Market, so like us on Facebook, look for us on the web, www.stjosephmeatmarket.com, or you can always call 320-363-4913 for more information. That's the St. Joe Meat Market, and thank you. And Dwight, for being our guest on the program, and this is how it works. Along with Chasm, we put up a nice meat package at the St. Joe Meat Market. We'll get that off to you this week and hope that you and those around you enjoy it in good health. How is that?
That sounds great, Si. Appreciate
Perfect.
It.
You bet. You bet. Well, yeah, you mentioned Jerry Schiff there and, of course, Dale Damon. Care to mention some of the other musicians over the years that have inspired you, you know, concertina players that you've looked up to and listened to?
Sure. You know, Dad is certainly a huge fan of Elmer Scheid.
Yeah.
A lot of the New Ulm bands. And so, you know, I think there was a lot of exposure there. You know, Six Fat Dutchman, bands going back, you know, quite a bit of time.
Sure.
You know, I think for me, I look back, probably in the late 80s, spent a lot of time, like, at the Gibbon Polka Fest.
Okay.
And met, you know, a lot of fellow concertina players, you know, guys like, you know, Brian and Gary, you know, Keith Locke.
Yeah.
And again, just the musicianship there and you know, all that really helped to inspire me, and still does. You know, there's still among some of the best musicians that we've seen. You know, and you know, as far as the bands, you know, it's you know, we didn't talk a whole lot about some of the Czech bands, but even like, you know, Dean Hansen and Mark Vihladal today, but you know, the list is long.
Oh yes,
so I guess.
You yep.
probably sense, you know, my interests run beyond, you know, just kind of the Dutchman style as well, too. And so it's all good.
You bet. And did you ever get into the Polish style much at all back in the days when the Jolly Brothers were big in the area and that? Did you like that, too? Or?
Well, it's interesting you bring that up. You know, I alluded to it earlier. You know, when I graduated, kind of got into my career, moved down to the Twin Cities, you know, had the opportunity to take in, you know, lots of different styles of music. And, you know, at that time, the Bel Ray Ballroom, Majestic Ballroom were still around. And so oftentimes on a Sunday, you know, would head down there. We might have a Chicago push band playing in the afternoon, and in the evening, you know, it was ballroom, you know, mm-hmm. large dance. And so, yeah, you know, kind of got into some of the Polish, the push, but even the honky style Polish bands as well, too, in the Slovenian bands. So
yep. Yeah.
Definitely my interests probably run pretty wide.
You bet. And I've always said that, too. When it's good quality music, it really doesn't matter what style, if it's Czech style, Dutchman style, Polish style. When it's very listenable, I can listen to any of it.
You know, I'm amazed that, you know, if you go across the pond, you start talking about like Austria and Slovenia, just kind of the resurgence in the ethnic music. You know, a huge fan of the Oberkreiner style, and you know, some of the Styrian button box players over there are just phenomenal. And so, yeah, like you said, Si, you know, if it's good, it's easy to listen to.
You bet. I think one of my favorite concertina players these days that's middle-aged, was up and coming for quite some time now, is Dane Molden, Dane's Dutchman. We were just down to Oktoberfest yesterday in New Ulm, and Dane wasn't playing this year that I seen. He might have been over at the B&L Bar, but they weren't on Center Street this year. But he was a couple of years ago, and boy, he could really entertain a crowd.
Definitely, you know, another musician that comes to mind is John Dietz.
Yes.
You know, he's played a few jobs now in Minnesota the last two or three years with the old Brewers band.
Yeah.
You know, and I've been thoroughly impressed. It was really interesting. You know, some of the musicians that he's used in the jobs are young kids right out of, you know, high school band programs and I think some of those connections were probably through Jens Jensen, you know,
yeah.
students of his.
Yep.
But again, somebody who's really done a lot to keep the music alive, both with his own sons, but also to introduce other musicians to it as well.
Right, right. And that's so good to hear that Jolly Brewer's Library played again. And Dale had it for a while. Dale Damon had owned it for a while after Cactus had passed away. And so we've seen that library float around. And everybody has really honored it or paid tribute to it, I guess you would say, because Ernie Koopman, you know, back in the days, they believed that it had to be a full band, 8 or 10-piece band to play that library. And some of the bands nowadays, you know, because of the economic factor, have cut down to 4-piece or 5-piece, and so you don't get the full parts played. But and I think John is carrying through with that, too. They don't go out unless they can take the full band that all the parts are being played. And I think that is really neat.
Yeah, definitely.
You bet. Well, we're kind of running down on time now, Dwight. And I hope I've forewarned you, but I usually ask every guest about this time of the program, if there's a memory that comes to mind as you look back over your career, could be good, bad, or otherwise, but what have you got for us today, Dwight? What comes to mind first?
So, really funny story, at least it was for me. We were talking about Dale earlier on, and I think I was probably doing a job with Dale and Mark, probably up at McGregor, Minnesota. And, you know, after we were packing up at the end of the night, we found this blue stuffed rabbit. It was kind of laying behind the stage, and when I wasn't looking, Dale, being the jokester he was, he put it in my toolbox. And it was like three weeks later, I went to go get something on my toolbox, and here's this stuffed rabbit. I tell you what, Si, that rabbit went back and forth between Dale and myself. It probably went on 10 years, whether it was in a concert case or a guitar case or vice versa, but I think that was the most well-traveled blue stuffed rabbit there ever was.
Well, you know, that's humorous that you say that. I know Ray Dorschner, they had their mascot, and that old rag doll would travel to all the different jobs with them. And back in the days, Bobby Roberts from St. Martin, he had a whole trunk full of masks that he would all of a sudden start pulling out at the dance jobs, and you never knew what they were up to. And I always come back to that great musicians were not only great musicians, but they were also entertainers. They would intrigue the crowd. Did you notice that too as well?
Oh, definitely. Yep. You always needed to be on guard because there was a prank right around the corner.
Yep. Well, that is awesome, Dwight. Reached 10 after 12 here, so we're going to reserve a little time to play some music. And you had suggested music of Jerry Shuft, and we're going to do that. So with that, we're going to let you run. But if you want to hang on the line there, I'll talk to you off the air in just a moment. Thanks a lot, Dwight. Have a great afternoon.
Hey, you too, Cy. Thanks again.
You bet. And there he goes, Mr. Dwight Stang. And he is our 568th guest here on our Musicians Come and Play program here on KASM. Don't go away. We've got some great music coming up by Jerry Shuft and his band, the Earl Schmidt Band as well, in just moments. Larry Razavian is Out of Town Checks with our theme wrapping up right there, wrapping up Musicians Come and Play program, our 568th edition here. Dwight Stang out of the Clearwater, Minnesota area, our guest today, and what a wonderful guest. Just a young fellow yet, Dwight, just a very good concertina player. Like I said, I just only got to hear him on the one occasion, but boy, he can really handle that concertina. Mentioned a lot of good concertina players. And when I asked him about music, of course, not having his own recorded music, he said, let's do some music today by Jerry Shuft. So here we go. Music featuring the Jerry Shuft Band, starting out with a great one here, one called the Dance Hall Polka. Thank you. The Jerry Schuft Orchestra, one called the Dance Hall Polka. Here's a nice waltz tune everybody just really fell in love with when Jerry came out with this recording, Das Kufstein Lied. Jerry Schuft, the nice concertina solo there, Das Kufstein Lied Waltz. Taking us into the first portion of our musical treat for Dancing Feet, always brought to us by Jeannie B's Tours out of St. Joe, Minnesota. Jeannie wants to invite the listeners and their friends and relatives to join the Holly Jolly Gang departing November 28th for a Branson Christmas. This 6 days of festive fun includes 10 meals, 6 shows, 5 nights lodging, sightseeing of Branson's hidden gems, holiday goodies, Christmas present prizes on Trobeck's deluxe motor coach, experienced guides, and even some Christmas carols along the way. Night 1 is at the Drury Inn in Kansas City with an optional evening at the beautiful Ameristar Riverboat Casino. Shows on this itinerary include Clay Cooper's Country Christmas, The Haygoods Family Holiday Show, hits of the 60s and 50s too, the Presley's Christmas Show, Jubilee Show, Showboat Branson Bell Dinner Cruise Show, and Hot Rods and High Heels. Call Jeannie B's Tours 320-345-1581 this week and receive $25 off per person when mentioning that size says, join the Jeannie B's Christmas in Branson Tour. Yeah, join her. You bet. And how about an extended tour vacation in 2026? Check out the awesome tours like Alaska Cruises, Alaska Call of the Wild, Land Only, Ireland, New England, Canadian Rockies, Alpine Countries, including Switzerland, England, and Wales, California Railway Tours, the Rose Parade and California Tour, Pacific Northwest, West Virginia, and Williamsburg, Washington, D.C., and Hawaii. Wow, what a lineup she has. Jeannie Bees has 6 spots available on the February 12th Panama Canal Cruise. This Tuesday, October 7th, join the group at the meet and greet from 9 until 11:30 at the new Jeannie Bees office at 124 First Avenue Southeast in St. Joseph. That's the old Kennedy building, school building there. The tour office and Jeannie Bees Floral Designs and Whatnot Shop are located, as I said, in the old Kennedy School building next to the St. Joe Government Building. You will see presentations for all of the Jeannie Bees tours for 2026 extended flyout tours. And on Wednesday, October 8th, you can visit with Jeannie B at Tutti Frutti in Sauk Center from 9 until 10 for information about daycations, minications, and extended motor coach adventures. Visit Jeannie B's new shop for fall, Christmas, and year-round floral decor and gift items. Gift certificates for Jeannie B's tours and the Floral Designs and Whatnot shop are always available for people on your Christmas list. Jeannie B's is open Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday from 9 a.m. till 3 p.m., Wednesday and Friday by appointment. Just call Jeannie at 320-345-1581, and friendly staff will answer your questions. Now is the time to reserve your 2025 fall and holiday getaways and any 2026 extended tours. Jeannie always says, remember, seeing is believing. And boy, we have sure traveled with Jeannie over the past few years, and we've seen, and yes, we believe too. Jeannie, one of the outstanding tour agencies currently touring, and you will be very, very impressed when you travel with Jeannie as well. Jeannie B's Tours, bringing us the first portion of our musical treat for Dancing Feet here on KASM. 19 minutes past the hour of, 24 minutes past the hour of 12 noon. Temperature reading is 74 degrees here in Central Minnesota. Here's a favorite, Central Minnesota favorite of the Jerry Shift Band, one called the La 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 Polka. Thank you. Jerry Schuft with the La 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 Polka here on KASM. 27 minutes past the hour of 12 noon, and we have a temperature reading of 74 degrees here in central Minnesota. Next up, it's old Fez Fritchie number one called the Lois Waltz, Jerry Schuft and the Orchestra. Great music there by the Jerry Schuft Orchestra, one called the Lois Waltz. Takes us to 12:30 here on KASM 74, our current temperature here in Albany. In the final portion of our musical treat for Dancing Feet, always brought to us by Kevin's Countryside, home of the Hustler brand zero-turn lawnmowers. He's located 6 miles northwest of St. Joe on County Road 3. And, yeah, if you've never been to Kevin's Countryside, you really need to take that opportunity to get out there. Now, the Hustler, well, that's the original zero-turn lawnmower, the first one of its kind, and it helps eliminate the extra trimming and mowing of your lawn. Kevin still always with a nice inventory of brand-new Hustlers on hand, and Kevin, one of the nicest guys you're going to meet in the industry, you bet. Kevin does such great work out there. Of course, he does repair work on all makes and models, so he can change your belts, lubricants, hoses, sharpen your blades. He can do it all. And Kevin also accepts trades, so he'll make you a sweet deal on your present lawnmower. As always, for more information, or to make sure that Kevin's there when you go out to see him, give him a call at 320-363-7459. Kevin's a busy guy, you bet, this time of the year, harvest time, and if nobody's around, he'll get out in the field and start combining or, you know, maybe he's cutting hay or whatever, but there's a lot of work to do. He's kind of like a one man band, does all the farm work on the farm, on the family farm there, and of course sells those Hustlers and fixes and repairs lawnmowers. So he's a busy guy. And Kevin also took on the Eagle brand 56-volt lithium battery-powered equipment as well. He's got handheld blowers, backpack blowers, chainsaws and pole saws, self-propelled lawnmowers and more. They're all powered by that 56-volt lithium battery. Again, just give Kevin a call. His phone number, 320-363-7459. And you won't be sorry you did. And it's a beautiful drive this time of the year. He's just 6 miles north of St. Joe on County Road 3. The leaves are turning. The farmers are in the field harvesting. It's just a fun time to take a trip out to Kevin's. Do that this week. Kevin's Countryside, proudly bringing us the final portion of our musical treat for Dancing Feet here on KASM. 28 minutes before the hour of 1 o'clock, temperature reading at 74 degrees here in central Minnesota. Back to the music of the Jerry Schuft Band, and here's one called the Elsa Polka. The Jerry Schuft Band with one called the Elsa Polka. Here's a standard, a nice old-time waltz, one called the Dutchman's Waltz. Jerry Schuft and the band. Jerry Schuft on the concertina solo there with the Dutchman's Waltz. Old time polka time next, one called the Gypsy Polka. Jerry Shuft on the concertina there, one called the Gypsy Polka. Coming up on 20 minutes before the hour of 1 o'clock, time to wrap up another edition of our musical treat for Dancing Feet. Going to do that with a nice waltz tune. Elmer Scheid recorded it years ago. Here's Jerry's rendition of the Faded Rose Waltz. The Faded Rose Waltz by Jerry Shuft and the orchestra. And like Jerry would say, that's how it's done. Wrapping up another edition of our musical treat for Dancing Feet here on KASM.